We're glad to bring you this message from Timeless Truths Radio Ministry with Pastor Jerry Burns. We trust that you'll be blessed as you apply these timeless truths to your daily life.
In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible says, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. The Bible says God is beseeching you through the messenger or the ambassador. And we are in Christ's stead. God is begging you. He's beseeching you. What is the message? Be reconciled with God. God produces faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we hear the word of God, faith grows in our hearts. That's why it's always a good idea to tell our loved ones the word of God. It is quick and it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thirdly, let her see God uses Christians to preach the gospel. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16 in verse 15, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. The Bible says God is beseeching you through the messenger or the ambassador. And we are in Christ's stead. God is begging you. He's beseeching you. What is the message? Be reconciled with God. That is the message of the gospel. Be reconciled to God. We are to preach the gospel as believers. We are to lift up the Lord Jesus. And if he be lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men unto himself. And so our task as believers is to lift up the cross, is to lift up Jesus. We see also the Holy Spirit, letter D, convicts our hearts. The Bible says, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit convicts this world of their sin and the judgment of that sin, and he points us to a Savior. He points us to the Lord Jesus. That's why the Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me. That's Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to lift up Christ. He is the answer for your sin-sick soul. You see in this passage of Scripture, the work of the Spirit. He smites us to heal us, to bring us to a place of salvation. And maybe God today is working in your heart. Maybe the events of your life is the Lord knocking at the door of your heart. Would you let him come in today? Would you put your faith and trust in Christ today so that he could heal you, so that he could give you eternal life? Number two, let's consider this. We see a great Savior, the great Savior, verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20, and it shall be a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, a great one, and he shall deliver them. Now, many Bible theologians believe that this is not speaking of Jesus, but they believe it's speaking or referring to Alexander the Great, who would be a deliverer for Egypt. He arrived in Egypt in about 332 BC, and they believe that he would be the conqueror that Israel needed, or excuse me, that Egypt needed, the help that they needed, the deliverer, the Savior. But I don't think that's what the Bible is talking about. I think from the context of this passage of Scripture, this Scripture is talking about a greater conqueror than Alexander the Great. I believe from this Scripture that it's talking about a greater Savior than any leader that this world has to offer, that it's talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the one that saves us from our oppressors. Jesus is the hope that we need in a hopeless world. Jesus is the one that can solve the problems that we have because of the sin that has stained our heart. He is the great Savior. And I think we find in this Scripture that as we look at the great Savior, we look at letter A, he's great in his grace. He's great in his grace. I love what C.H. Spurgeon said about this passage of Scripture. Many, many years ago, he wrote a sermon called The Fruits of Grace. And in that sermon, he spoke of Isaiah chapter 19. And he talked about Egypt and the grace of God that was on display in their life. And he said this. He said, God's grace often comes to the very worst of men. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. God's grace sends a Savior. God's grace changes men's language. God's grace sets men on holy service. God's grace teaches men to pray. God's grace, Spurgeon said, instructs men. God's grace, even troubles become a blessing. By God's grace, he changes the relation of humanity to each other. By God's grace, we see that we become a blessing and a blessing to other people. God took, don't miss this, this is his grace. God took a despised people and made them a peaceful people. In verse 23, the Bible says a highway from Egypt to Assyria. In fact, peace would replace war. And Israel and Assyria and Egypt would form an alliance. They would have a peace treaty and they would trade and they would have peace. The idolatry would be cast down and instead you would find worship to the true God. Wickedness would be replaced with holiness. This is what a great Savior does in our life. More than a conqueror, more than Alexander the Great. This is the work of God in our life. That is the grace of God. You know, no matter how ungodly or wicked, God's grace can make a difference. I want us to turn, if we could, to 1 Timothy chapter 1 in the New Testament. Would you turn there? I think the greatest example we find in our Bible of this, the grace of God, is in the Apostle Paul. And he lays out for us the pattern of God as an example of what God wants to do in the lives of people. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Look what the Bible says, verse 15 now. The Bible says this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." This is a faithful saying. No matter the culture or generation, this is always true. And it's worthy to be accepted by everyone. That Jesus Christ, or that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. The heart of God is to not make people religious. The heart of God is not to form religion, but the heart of God is to save sinners and to change their life. It says in verse 16 of our text, this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, how be it for this cause? What cause? Well, that Jesus came to save sinners. How be it for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Look at this. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal, life everlasting. Verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor.
Hey, it's Josh. We'll get back to the message this morning in just a moment. We want to invite you to join us in this ministry of proclaiming the gospel message to our region. Please pray for us as we endeavor to share God's timeless truths. But also, your financial investment is appreciated. You can send a financial gift by mail to 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7, or using e-transfer by sending your gift to give@kitchenerbaptist.org. This would be a great blessing to us and a help to this ministry. We also want to pray for you and with you. You can head over to kitchenerbaptist.org/pray, complete the form, and we'll add your request to our prayer list. We would love to help you in this way. You can check out our website at kitchenerbaptist.org. You're going to find several free resources to help you in your Christian life, including a free Bible reading schedule. Check it out today. If you have any questions about this morning's message or about God's work in our life each day, please reach out to us using the contact information at kitchenerbaptist.org. We are here to help you in any way that we can, so please do not hesitate to give us a call or send us an email, even if it's just to say hi. Okay, now that we've taken care of these items, we can return to our message. Here, once again, is Pastor Burns.
Religious. The heart of God is not to form religion, but the heart of God is to save sinners and to change their life. It says in verse 16 of our text, this is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, how be it for this cause? What cause? Well, that Jesus came to save sinners. How be it for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Look at this. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal, life everlasting. Verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. God has a long resume of saving sinners and changing their lives. God has a long resume of changing, saving sinners and making them usable for his service. God's grace is able to save to the uttermost. That is the grace of God. That is the great Savior that we have in our life. His grace is able to change lives. And this is a powerful truth here. And this is a powerful truth to say about Egypt. I mean, think about this. Who's standing amid the terrors of the plagues when we read about Egypt? How could we ever suppose that Egypt would address or be addressed by God as my people? That is the grace of God. I mean, we go back and we read in the life of Moses and him standing before Pharaoh and their rejection of God and their idolatry. We would never think in a million years that we would come to Isaiah chapter 19 and there would be this incredible prophecy that God would call Egypt my people. That's the grace of God. But more than that, it is almost unbelievable to say this about Assyria. You know Assyria? That's the nation that Jonah hated so much. That's the nation that Jonah didn't want to preach them the gospel because he knew that God was a merciful, graceful God and that they might get saved. And they were such a wicked nation. They were such a cruel nation that Jonah didn't want to take the chance that this people would actually get right with God, because as far as Jonah was concerned, this people deserved the judgment of God. This nation. And yet, by the grace of God, he is able. Amen. He is able. He's able to change lives. He's able to make a difference, no matter how wicked, no matter how ungodly. The grace of God is able to make a difference. We see not only the great grace, but also great blessing. He's great in his blessing. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that God would bless this people, that God would bless them with deliverance and hope and meet the needs, because he's a great Savior, a God that is great in grace and a God who is great in blessing. This is the wonderful, amazing grace that we heard, the grace of God that can change and sustain a life. But thirdly, as we close this message, I want us to consider thirdly this idea, his people. His people. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 25. Don't miss it as we close this message. Verse 25. The Bible says, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, look at that, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. Now we know contextually that this is speaking of the work of God in all three of these nations. We know contextually God is at work in Egypt, Assyria, and Israel itself, and God's mighty redemptive work is present and his grace is evident. But I believe that in these three nations, we find insight to God's redemptive work in every child of God today. If you know the Lord is your Savior, I believe these three nations will show us what God is doing in our life. Number one, we see that we go from enemies to his people, verse 25. Egypt went from being the enemies of God and the enemies of the people of God to this incredible truth that now they are his people. The Bible illustrates this for every believer in Romans 5, verse 10. The Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were the enemies of God. And the Bible says that because of the death of Christ, we were reconciled to God, and now we become the people of God. Isn't that an incredible transformation, to be the enemy of God and now you're the people of God? You were the child of the devil and now you're a child of God. You were a child of hell and now you're a child of heaven. That is only because of the work of the Lord Jesus. From enemies to his people. Incredible. The Bible says, blessed be Egypt, my people. My people. God's work in our life. I want us to see letter B, we go from wicked to walking with God. God did an amazing work in Assyria. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, when he speaks of Assyria, he says, the work of my hands. Such a cruel, wicked society, culture, an adulterous nation that had rejected the true God, and yet God was working in their life. And God brought them to where they ought to be. I'm glad today that God's still working on me. And guess what? God's still working on you. You know, we see Christians, other Christians, and they may not quite be sanctified yet. And their speech may not be seasoned with salt. They might not be living the Christian life the way that we might think it should be lived. But I'm grateful that they are the work of God's hands and that God is still working on our life. It's like the boys and girls sing, right? Let me see if I can sing it. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, 'cause he's still working on me. You see, we're the work of his hands. We went from the enemy of God to the child of God, and now the Bible says that God is still at work in our life, whereunto I also labor, Colossians 1 and verse 29, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. God's still working on me. And if you're frustrated today because you're not where you ought to be, then thank God you're not where you used to be, and thank God for his working in your life. But thirdly, we see from hopelessness to a wonderful inheritance. The Bible speaks of Israel as the inheritance of the Lord. And truly, God had better days ahead for Israel. From this people would come the Messiah, the Savior of not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. This wonderful inheritance would come from Israel. They are truly the inheritance of the Lord. A covenant people that God would one day in the last days use once again. And yet I'm reminded from this scripture that we are also a people of inheritance. That we as Christians are also a people of great blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." We have a wonderful inheritance today, don't we? We have a home in heaven waiting for us. We have a hope in our heart that the world cannot take. We have the blessing of knowing Christ as our Savior, the blessing of knowing that one day we'll see him face to face, the blessing to know that we can claim the very promises of God, that he's walking with us and he's talking with us, and that one day it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. A wonderful inheritance. And so as we conclude this message this morning, it's real simple. It's the heart of God for every person, every nation, every people group. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then listen, I want to say this with confidence. God is at work in your life. He wants you to be a Christian. And God has brought you to the place where you are listening to this very message this morning. God has brought you to this place because his heart is, he wants you to be saved. He wants you to put your faith and trust in him. And I don't know the events of your life. I don't know how God is smiting you, but the heart of God is to heal you. He wants to bring these events into your life so that you see his grace and you see his glory, and so that you turn from your idolatry to the God of heaven, and that you put your faith and trust in him. And friend, listen to me. I'm saying this today, that God is beseeching your heart today. He's knocking at the door of your life, and he's saying, "Won't you be a Christian? Won't you put your trust in me? Won't you be my people?" Would you say yes to the Lord today? Would you let him in? Would you open the door of your heart? Christian, let me say this. We are saved by the grace of God. What a wonderful blessing. And we are ambassadors for him. Would we say yes to the call of Christ to go out and tell other people of the Lord, about the Lord? Would we allow him to use our life? God is still working on you. You are the people, the work of his hands. Would you allow God to keep on working by submitting to his work? And would you see the incredible heart of God for every people, every nation, that they would come to salvation? And would you say, "Lord, I'd like to be a part of that. I'd like to be used of you." Would you surrender your heart to him today? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your message, Lord, and this wonderful truth in your word. And Lord, as you wonderfully have described for us your heart, we had the opportunity this morning to see your heart and your desire to save sinners. Lord, I pray you would help us, Lord, to continue to let you work in our heart, that we would submit to you, that we would allow you, obey you, follow you. Lord, I pray if there's an individual that's listening to this message, no matter where they are in the world, if they do not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would put their faith and their trust in you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done, what you will do in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into our program today. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that preaches the Word of God. For more information about our ministries and how we can be a blessing to you, visit timelesstruthsradio.com. Our radio program is available because of the faithful prayers and financial support from listeners like you. You can support our ministry by sending a financial gift to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry at 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. That's Timeless Truths Radio Ministry at 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. To learn more about how you can help this ministry, visit our website at timelesstruthsradio.com. Do you know the Jesus we talked about in this program? You can know abundant eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus today. Ask him to save you. Fully trust in him. Learn more about Jesus and how you can have eternal life through him by watching our video at kitchenerhope.com. Hey Christian, have you ever wanted to read the Bible through in 1 year? We have an easy-to-follow Bible reading schedule that will help you succeed. You can visit timelesstruthsradio.com to learn more. Thank you again for joining us this Sunday morning. Join us next week when we open our Bibles and study God's timeless truths.